am Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, coming up, we will break down what we expect from the Bears and Colts, talk about how Caleb Williams can improve and what in the world is going on with the Bears' run game. All that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, it's week three. The Bears have got the Colts on the schedule. The Colts are winless and allow more rushing yards than anybody in football. This seems, on the surface, like exactly what is ailing the Bears can be cured.
The Colts are not a total disaster like the Panthers or something. By the way, do you think that Ryan Poles should trade for Bryce Young? Just throw away a late round, just to make that trade from a couple years ago even funnier. That he could have Bryce Young too, just because he wants him.
This is a trade just to embarrass the Panthers?
Just to make it, just to cement it as the most hilarious trade of all time. The Colts are not that.
Right.
But they also are not very good, I don't think, Patrick. Right. And Anthony Richardson might be good eventually. He's not good today. He isn't there yet. And this is a team that already was not a very good run defense and now lost Foster or whoever, as Caleb Williams called him.
DeForest Buckner.
DeForest Buckner going on IR. I think it is exactly what the Bears need as far as the type of opponent. It's not ideal to go on the road, and that's why the Colts are a slight favorite. It's hard to go on the road. But I think that they're going to have the appearance of having fixed some things between Caleb Williams playing a little better and the running game probably being much easier to execute. The question that we'll have coming out of that is if they beat the Colts, is it really fixed or is it just the Colts?
The Colts, the Rams, and the Panthers, and the Jaguars, the Bears' next four opponents, I think have a combined zero wins right now. So maybe we'll be asking that question for a month. I'll tell you this, you know, in week one I talked about how the Titans must have been thrilled when they got the schedule and saw that they got to play the Bears in week one.
Because Caleb's debut.
Yeah, the Bears in week one offensively are going to be very different than the Bears in week 10 even. I think the Bears have to be happy that they're getting the Colts when they are right now, because the Colts, like you said, are diminished defensively. They have a quarterback in Anthony Richardson who is coming off a really horrible game and who doesn't have a whole lot of NFL experience as it is. You know, they may be really different in December than they are now too. I was telling you this earlier today that, you know, the thing about Richardson that's so compelling to me is, you know, he's played fewer snaps than Tyson Bagent. Isn't that bizarre? I mean, this is a guy who was the number four overall pick in last year's draft. He was limited to four games last year because of injury. And in two games this year, he just can't get on the field because their run defense is so bad. The Colts had the ball for 19 minutes last week. 19 minutes?
Green Bay.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
Yeah, Green Bay beat them with Malik Willis 16-10, I think.
Maybe despite Malik Willis 16-10. But yes, with Malik Willis was on the team.
I mean,
yes.
That was enough to win.
Sure.
I just think that there's a lot wrong here. And this is the part, Pat, you know, you talked about their next four opponents. I think I still would consider the Rams a pretty good team. They were a playoff team last year. Mm-hmm. They got Matt Stafford. They've got one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in the game, in Sean McVay. But this is the time when you look at their schedule, the Bears' schedule, this is the time when they cannot throw away games. And they haven't so far. Mm-hmm. Because we all would have X'd out Houston as a loss in week two on the road at Houston. But we're totally out of the free pass section of the schedule where, okay, we know game one, debut, first game ever for Caleb Williams. Who knows how that's going to go, no matter who the opponent is. Game two at Houston, a team that could be a top five team this year that is looking to make that leap from playoff team to actual contender. That's tough. But now it's pretty real. You cannot be throwing away a game against the Colts, the Panthers, and you better not look like a joke at home against the Rams, or Jacksonville was 9-8 last year, you know, against Jacksonville and London. This is the time. Now through it's week 11, so you have about 2 months where the schedule is much lighter than it's going to be on the back half. And in theory, you look at that for the Bears going into the season, you say that's perfect.
Right.
Perfect with a rookie quarterback for all the reasons that you have already hinted at with expecting that Caleb Williams is going to be much better toward the end of the season. This is a good opportunity for him to get some traction in his development. But this is still a team that needs to win now. This is still a team where the playoffs are a minimum requirement for me for this to be a successful season. And you can't just meander your way to 500 through your first half of the schedule and think that you're going to make it up later against teams like the 49ers and the Packers.
Yeah, you got to make hay now. And it starts Sunday, up through week 11, the Bears have Colts, Rams, Panthers, Jaguars, Commanders, Cardinals, and Patriots.
A bunch of those teams are the worst teams from last year.
They can win all those games. Yeah. And then afterwards, you ready for it, Jason? It's great. Packers, Vikings, Lions, 49ers in San Francisco, back for the Vikings again, Lions again, Seahawks at home, Packers on the road.
You just said they could win every game on the first half. They could lose every one of those.
In the second half, yeah. And the hope is that the development that you've gotten from Caleb Williams makes you a much different team in the second half. I think also the hope, too, is that the Vikings aren't as good and by the end of the season as they appear to be right now, because that might have been the one NFC North win I would have circled.
But either way, you're taking hits on that second half of the schedule. Mm-hmm. You're losing some games there.
Yeah, and that's why.
So you better pile up the wins now.
Yeah, and we talked about, I think that they can, I think if they, between the Colts, Panthers, and Rams, if they win 2 out of 3, I think that's about right, don't you? I mean, it's.
Yeah, I'd be satisfied with that. But you need to win. It's kind of how you win or how you lose in those cases for me, too. You need to win decisively against teams like the Colts and especially at home against, I guess it will be Andy Dalton
The Panthers. Let's not lump the Colts in with the Panthers.
You still should win decisively in that game. You need to look like clearly the better team.
In a game in which you're the underdog?
They're not really the underdog. The Colts are a point or two favored because they're at home.
That makes them the underdog. Yeah,
but that line means people think that the Bears are a better team. And then the Rams, you can't go and get blown out or have some kind of offensive showing like they just had in Houston where they can't do anything.
Especially if Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are out. And we've written about this, and Jason, you wrote about it well last week. It's kind of the dual path here, is that the quarterback Caleb Williams needs to get better every week, and that is crucial to the future of this multi-billion-dollar organization.
That's a 20-year journey in theory.
Yeah. At the same time, you got to win, and you got to win games kind of by any means necessary. When you say, well, there's kind of, you need style points here. You do. I think you need style points in the sense that the quarterback needs to keep getting better, and that would lift everybody's spirits. But again, a win is a win. And the Bears aren't apologizing for the way they beat the Titans, and obviously you can't expect to do that every week. But a game in which Caleb plays marginally better and the Bears defense beats the Colts into submission, even if it's not decisive, even if it's 17-16, that is just so different than the Bears teams that we've been exposed to for the last 5-10 years, right?
I totally agree. On game day, you win however you can, and that win over the Titans is a success.
Right,
but as we've talked about on here before, our job is always trying to gauge where this is headed.
Right.
And for me to see that this is headed where it should be headed, I want to see decisive wins over the Colts and Panthers, and I want to see very competitive game against the Rams.
And then, I think the Jaguars will be a really interesting game, but we got time for that. Much further down the line. I thought Caleb Williams, once again, seems to have a pretty good sense of himself, not only after the game when he talked about it, but then again when he spoke Wednesday. Just little things like, not taking a delay of game, running the play in faster. Shane Waldron talked today about, trying to steal a second or two, when you're calling the play in, just to give everybody that comfort level. You forget that those are things that as a rookie, that it's not as easy as it sounds for him. And maybe that, I think that's okay through 2 weeks. I'm not sure that's okay through, 4 or 5.
I thought he was better overall in week 2 than week 1.
Yes.
Even though one of the silver lining on what he did in week 1 was he didn't do anything egregiously reckless.
Right.
That was not true in Houston. In Houston, he threw 2 interceptions. And is by far his worst decision of the day was on that interception that didn't count.
Didn't count. Yep.
I mean, he made 3 really bad decisions in that game. And so it's hard to kind of defend his work after something like that. But I would imagine that can be coached out of him. That can be something he learns from and changes. His overall throwing, his overall passing, and he missed some other ones too. He missed the DJ Moore throw. But it was better. It was more accurate. And this gets back to what you're talking about these concurrent paths here for the Bears. And it's such a unique situation in their history. It's such a unique situation in the NFL landscape at large that they are otherwise built to win now.
Sure.
But they've got a quarterback that is going to maybe have a learning curve here. And you don't usually have that at the same time.
Yeah, and a quarterback that's going to have a learning curve and that, you hope you're not instilling any bad habits in him. Part of the problem, on Sunday night wasn't that the Bears were limited to 13 points, although that's not good. It was the beating that he took by virtue of being sacked 7 times. The offensive line, we can parse every single sack if you want. One was on a screen. One of them, he ran out of bounds at the stick, and that's technically a sack. But boy, he was getting hammered. And, the hope is that you're not teaching him bad habits, or you're not harming him psychologically by just watching him get his head kicked in without responding in the middle of the game.
He's incredibly smart. He's been at it for a long time. I think he is going to be able to withstand that. Mm-hmm. But to your point, when you have your entire offensive line caving in across the board, it's counteracting what you're coaching him to do.
Right.
You're coaching him to put it briefly, you're coaching him to stay in the pocket. He'd look at you and say, "What pocket?"
Right, yeah.
Or what pocket are you talking about?
You're coaching him to step up, and he goes, "Step up what?" So the guy hits me sooner? Yeah.
But, Pat, when you look at this team right now, okay, the Bears 1-1, 2 very unimpressive games offensively. Mm-hmm. This doesn't – their performance, if you just look at their performance, take the results out of it, it doesn't look like a playoff team right now.
No.
If you're looking at areas they can fix, I don't know if offensive line is one of those areas because there aren't just guys to go get. The backups are not better than the starters. That's right. Not how football teams work. But the biggest area of untapped potential or of potential growth for them is Caleb Williams getting a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether that happens sooner or later is going to make a big difference in what their record is.
This looks like a top 5 or 10 defense, which... you can win a lot of games with that if your offense just kind of gets up from awful to mediocre. And, the potential of Caleb to get there, I think, is pretty high. The potential of Caleb to have a really functional, good offense by the end of the season, I think, still exists. And you see all the time in the NFL, it's not linear. His growth can go from a C- to a B+, pretty quick. And I think if he did that, the Bears would have a chance. You bring up the offensive line. I was stunned, and maybe Bears Twitter shouldn't surprise me anymore, but I was stunned that people were outraged when Matt Eberflus came out on Wednesday and said, we're not making any starting lineup changes at the O-line. Like, they have 4 backups. One of them is Matt Pryor. The other 3 have a combined 1 game of experience in their careers. And if any of them were any good, they'd be playing. They have the only option they have right now, because Ryan Bates is on IR, because Larry Borum's on IR. The only option they have is to try to get these guys better. I don't think that's a terrible – I don't think they're doomed yet. I think Chris Morgan is known for coaching up a line during the course of the season. But, boy, we all thought that the floor would be a lot higher than this,
didn't we? There's not a personnel fix.
No.
No, we thought they'd be kind of a middle-of-the-road O-line, and they've been a terrible O-line so far. Right. They can't run. They can't pass. They have neutralized DeAndre Swift, who is a proven weapon in the league.
I think games like that tap into kind of the – and I don't blame players who come to town and kind of don't understand this, because it happened decades before they were ever here. But I think it taps into this very familiar feeling as a Bears fan. I think the fans sit there and go, "Do you remember Jay Cutler getting put on his butt, 70 times in a season? Do you remember – all these years when they had
Justin Fields 2 years ago.
Yeah, but all these years when they had a really good defense and a quarterback who just kept getting hit over and over again. And, I think I think Chicago is really good at overreacting every Monday, for better and for worse. But I think that that fed some of the freakout that we saw this week.
It's a mixed bag there, because there is a lot of Ryan Poles and Ian Cunningham asking you to trust them about some of these guys, about sure. Braxton Jones, for example, and Coleman Shelton. There's also some high-end talent there. Darnell Wright is a really good offensive tackle. Tevin Jenkins has been their best offensive lineman the last couple of years, probably. Mm-hmm. Nate Davis, when he's out there,
pretty good.
They get their money's worth out of Nate Davis from a talent standpoint.
Just maybe not Monday through Saturday. Yeah, right.
When he plays,
right,
he's talented. Mm-hmm. He is worth his contract when he plays. Center and left tackle, you know, Braxton Jones, I think, should be a serviceable left mm-hmm. tackle. So, to your point, it is possible those guys can play better.
Right.
That is the only thing you can hope for, though. There isn't some guy they can go get.
And you sure as hell better hope that nobody gets hurt. Because if you're worried about this group, they are not deep. Ryan Poles fell all over himself telling us during training camp that this was the deepest offensive line he'd ever had here. And maybe the bar there was so low that that's true. But, you know, by the end of the second week, you know, you're down Borum and you're down Ryan Bates. And, you know, that'll test anybody. And now, you know, if you think Doug Kramer is better than who they're running out there, I mean, it's just an act of faith.
He's not. That's not how yes. depth charts
that's
work.
That's not how ever. This goes.
Everybody right. always wants, well, play the next guy, play the next guy. They're not as good as the player that you're upset with.
Right, and the fastest way to fix this, obviously, is to run the football. You do a couple of different things by that. Number one, as Shane Waldron pointed out today, as linemen, you get to beat up on the defensive line. And as the game goes on, those guys are less fresh. Those guys are less able to rush the passer, and that's beneficial. And number two, you get the ball out of Caleb's hand. You know, Caleb's not going to get taken to the ground on a run play. And, you know, as we talk about him getting better, The big secret to him getting better this year is him playing those games, is him, you know, being upright in November, December, and January. And, you know, we talked about the Sunday night. That Texans game's one of the times when you're worried about somebody's safety. And I was watching him get banged around. And you need him to keep answering the bell. And the best way to do that is to run the ball and make sure he's not getting hit the way he's been getting hit.
I'm glad you mentioned Shane Waldron, because he's part of this too. This isn't just, what can Shane Waldron do? Right. I mean, there's enough talent there to figure something out. And this cannot be like the Luke Getsy 17-game process.
Right.
Shane, in a win-now year, Shane Waldron needs to come up with some solutions. He needs to get creative. We've seen the Bears do it. We've seen guys that got fired. Dude, we saw Matt Nagy do it at times.
Yep.
We saw Luke Getsy do it at times. Shane Waldron needs to come up with something. What do you want to see from Shane Waldron here, Pat?
I want to see a run game. I want to see, personnel-wise, maybe more tight ends than wide receivers. At least, you know, to try to get that, you know, get that started. I think when you're playing the Colts, who's the worst run defense in football, I think that's beneficial. I would like to see third and five. Like, that's a low bar. Like, third and five or third and six, you know, that's just so much better than what they were doing. I think 14 times on Sunday night they had second and 10 or third and 10 or more. Twice in week one they had fourth and 29. You know, I asked Shane Waldron today, what is the one area you want to see Caleb improve in specifically from week two to week three? And he said, as an offense, we can't go backwards. Like, when you get to third and five or third and six or third and four, or, oh my God, maybe you don't even get to third down. Maybe it's a first down. Those are fewer opportunities to get your quarterback hit and hurt. And those are, you know, chances where you can actually be a balanced offense by at least pretending to threaten a run play. And that's not anything they've been able to do for 2 weeks.
I'd like to see something that they've done occasionally. This needs to be more prevalent in their offense, is going to more of the spread out of the shotgun and try to get Caleb Williams in some rhythm that way.
Yeah.
It also gives him a little bit of a buffer from the pass rush.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, when he's getting sacked on screens, like, I mean, there's not much you can do about that. That's just failure. But I would like to see him getting the ball out quick and protecting himself. Jason, you and myself and Potsy and everybody else has made picks for this week. It is 5-1 Bears, which surprised me a little bit given the aforementioned nature of this game that the Bears are underdogs. Your score, Jason, is 25-19. It's pretty similar to Potsy's at 24-13, so he's got him winning by 11.
Oh, okay.
Rick Tellender is 21-20. Rick Morrissey's 23-13. So,
okay.
And Scoop Jackson is 28-13. Scoop Jackson's okay. Got the got the route being on. So three of the five Bears pickers have them at seven or covering. They're all covering. Three of the five have them winning by a touchdown or more. You are by six. What you thinking?
I thought I'd be kind of out on my own a little bit. I didn't think it would be so lopsided. I thought it'd be half maybe.
Right.
Or, maybe two people out of six choose the Bears. But I do think they'll get better. I think Caleb Williams will get legitimately better. And I think that their run game will at least look better against this defense. And I do not have any confidence right now that Anthony Richardson is going to get anything going for them offensively against the Bears defense the way they're playing right now. And Pat, the Bears defense has played this way without any statistical production whatsoever from the highest paid guy on the team.
Right, Montez Sweat. I asked him today whether he was frustrated because he's getting double teamed a lot. And he said, well, I'd double team me too, which is a great line. But yeah, this is a really good defense without production from him. And I think the Bears are excited about, what they can be once he gets going. Jaquan Brisker, the safety, is, maybe the beneficiary of a lot of Anthony Richardson's aggressiveness here. And he said, please throw it. Please throw it deep. Please throw it to me. The Bears defense plans to be opportunistic. Richardson, a really strange stat line. He's somebody who can throw the ball a mile and run, just as well as anybody this side of Justin Fields and Lamar Jackson. But he also completes 49% of his passes. So there's going to be a chance here for the Bears defense to take over the game in the way they did against the Titans.
Yeah, the key for them will be to not spend the whole day chasing.
Right.
I think it will make a big difference to the Bears if they win the coin toss, they need to take the ball.
Right.
They need to try to get ahead and just kind of try to play from there. Even if it's only by a little bit,
right.
I would so much rather see them in that position of being up three than down three. I'm not even talking about a big margin here score-wise, but I think it will make a big difference to them psychologically, and it will make a difference in Shane Waldron's play calling.
How many minutes have they spent ahead this year? Essentially the last 7 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it feels like it'd be like four or five from the end of the Titans game, maybe.
Yeah, and I didn't give my score. I actually have the Colts winning. I think the Colts win 21-20. They're a team that's 0-2. A lot of times in week three, you get these desperate teams who sit there and go, we can't start 0-3. I think they're at home. I think that's beneficial. I think that their two losses so far have been to the Texans by two. And then at Lambeau Field, both of those are tough situations for a team that I think is probably about a 500 team and about where the Bears are going to finish. So we'll see. I don't think they get to 21 unless they have a defensive touchdown or a special teams touchdown. So once again, real emphasis for Caleb Williams to be a lot more like the Caleb in week one when it comes to not putting the ball in harm's way than he was the Caleb in week two.
If you're right and they lose this game, that is going to change. That is going to raise the temperature in the room here for Matt Eberflus.
Why? They're not favored to win the game.
That's not a game that he can really afford to lose and then be 1-2 with the Rams coming in next. That is going to start, especially, Pat, it would also be, if that happens, it's going to be three games that were really bad offensively.
Oh, your presumption is if they lose, they're not scoring three touchdowns?
Well, yeah, you're picturing them losing, and I'm thinking it's not going to be a barn burner if they lose.
Right. I think it's awful early. If your record is 1-2 and you've been favored to win one of the three games, I think it's awful early to go get the pitchfork.
It's not getting the pitchfork, but it's definitely going to turn up the attention and the questions on him. And he was one of the main, wild cards main things you're kind of looking at, wondering about into this season. Mm-hmm. And he's, what would he be, 11-25 or something right now as head coach of the Bears. Last season they could have fired him without any objections. Mm-hmm. Nobody would have been like, oh, no, man.
Right. But to your point earlier, our job is not only to tell you who won the game and whether that's good or bad, but to measure the direction of the thing. Mm-hmm. And there's a world where the direction of the offense makes a leap and they still don't win the game. And I think that would be, I would hesitate to then sit there and go, everything's burning to the ground. But we'll see how it goes. I think the Colts are very similar to who the Bears are and probably, who they want, who they both want to be. Jason, that'll do it for here. We will be back again Sunday after the game. Until then, you can follow Mark Potash, Jason, and myself on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website, on the app, and if you live in town, buy a paper. He's Jason, I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back again real soon. We'll be right back.